David's life in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And as the Lord develops a Christian character in our lives, there will be moments, there will be maybe more than moments, times of darkness. And David is in a very dark time in his life, not because of anything he did wrong, not because of sin, but God is using the trials in his life to prepare him to be king. God used every single circumstance that David had gone through that we've already learned about and that we will continue to learn in his life. And he also used Saul, a crazy king who sought to kill David. But God used that man in David's life to make him more of a man after God's own heart. And at this point in time, David feared for his life, and his fear overtook him. It led him. It drove him. And he made a very, very bad decision and lied, as we saw last week. And his fear then even caused him to act like a madman, like a crazy man. And perhaps he had seen that in Saul and was just imitating it. When we let fear drive us, our faith flees. You can't even see faith because the fear is so strong. And it is sad to see David behave like this. It really is sad. But then there is a little part of me that's kind of glad because it means he's just like everybody else. And yet God used this in David's life. Alan Redpath said, "It takes but a moment to make a convert, and it takes a lifetime to manufacture a saint." And that is the truth. We are all a work in progress. So just to review a little bit, David had been in Saul's company, playing the harp for him, soothing him when Saul was being a madman, and that distressing spirit was upon him. And Saul, because of his pride and his envy and his jealousy, he didn't like David anymore. He hated David. And so he sought to kill him, sent men to his house. David fled. When David fled, he went to the prophet Samuel. And Samuel is the one who anointed him as king. And he stayed with Samuel until it wasn't safe to stay there anymore. And then he fled again. He met Jonathan, his very good friend and Saul's son, out in the field, and Jonathan confirmed to him, "Yes, my father is going to kill you. You cannot come back anymore." David had done no wrong. He didn't do anything to make Saul want to kill him. It was Saul's own insecurities and his envy and his jealousy that he sought to kill David. David was, at that point, that fear was building in his life. And he said to Jonathan, "But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." What happened to the anointing on David's life? What happened to that promise that he was going to be king? He forgot about it, and fear took over. David then ran to the priest at Nob, as we saw in the lesson last week. The priest thought it was a little strange that David came alone and, probably without all of his garb on. And so David lied. He just flat out lied to the priest, again out of fear. And he said he was on the king's business. And then the priest, because of that, either assumed that there were a few men with him. Perhaps there were a few, very few, they weren't right there. And whether David just let him assume that, or there was really men, we don't know. But he was alone when he was talking to that priest. And the priest then, because of the lie that David gave, because he put the priest in an impossible situation, the priest then helped David. Gave him some food, gave him the sword of Goliath, and then David took off. And we're going to pick it up in verse 10 of 21 for tonight's lesson. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s?'" Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. And then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see that man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you've brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So David, he fled. He ran from God's people because he couldn't take refuge among God's people. And Damian touched on this a little bit Sunday night because of Saul, and he was turning the hearts of many of the people against David. He couldn't take refuge among God's people. So he went to the enemy. Now, here it's interesting that even the enemy recognized that David was going to be king. Is not David the king of the land? I mean, even the enemy knew, but David had forgotten at that time. And because of them, here David killed Goliath's hometown. They thought, what is he doing here? David was terrified. And so he changed his behavior, acted like a crazy man so that they would, not harm him. He wasn't a threat anymore. And they simply dismissed it. And so though David was anointed as king and he had experienced God's protection, his faithfulness, many times when he was a shepherd boy and a bear or a lion would come and get the sheep. Remember, he said and told them before Goliath, "I grabbed that beard of the lion and I killed him. I killed the bear." No fear, because God, he knew God was with him and God protected him. But at this point in time, he has completely lost perspective. His fear drove out his faith. Fear led him away from God, and fear led him to his enemy. It doesn't make any sense. Fear is a very powerful thing, but faith is more powerful. But faith needs to be fed. And right now, David was feeding the fear in believing the lies. And we do the same thing in our lives. Proverbs 29:25 tells us, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Shall be safe. The fear of the Lord, the fear of man brings a snare. In that our actions then become controlled by the thing or the person that we fear. And instead of David facing Saul like he faced that giant, a literal giant who could have killed him very easily, and he just stood up because of the power and the strength of the Lord and his faith in the Lord, instead of doing that to a man, Saul, he ran. He feared. And now Saul held the power. He held the power over David. And David is running like a madman, not trusting the Lord. When there is fear, there's no trust. When there's fear, there's no faith. When there's fear, there's no believing in God's promises and in his word. Somebody said, "We fear man so much because we fear God so little." And that is so true. When we have a healthy fear of the Lord, and that doesn't mean we're afraid of the Lord, but it means we respect, we stand in awe, and we have a fear of displeasing Him. When we have that healthy fear of the Lord, what can man do to us? And we need to live daily in that fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is one of my favorite topics. I love it and I need it in my life because it builds my faith. It strengthens me when I study the fear of the Lord, when I read verses on the fear of the Lord, it strengthens my inner man and it helps me not be afraid and it helps me walk holy and helps me walk correctly with the Lord. And I was tempted to do a whole thing on the fear of the Lord, but not now. I will sometime. It's just been really stirring in my heart lately. Somebody else said, security in the Lord removes intimidation by man. And that's true, because to know who I am and then who God is and how big and strong and powerful and that He is for me, that He loves me, that He's my shield, He's my strength, He's my protector, to know that and to know that God will take care of me no matter what the situation might be, there's security in that. There is strength in that. And what in the world are you going to do to me? That's where we need to live, with that kind of confidence in our God, that He is for us and that His promises are true and that He is faithful. He will take care of us. So then why do I need to fear? We fear man in so many different ways. We fear in so many different ways. We fear, even as adults, we fear what people think of us. We just do. It's just part of our fleshly nature that we care about what somebody else thinks of us to the degree that it's not healthy. I mean, obviously we care about pleasing our husband, our family, you know, that kind of a thing. But you know what I'm saying. And those kind of fearing man or fearing what you think of me or that kind of a thing, it's going to put pressure on me then to maybe do something I don't want to do, to make a decision that I don't want to make or I wouldn't make, but because I'm fearing the reaction I might get from you, then I might make that bad decision. I loved what Morgan brought up last week about those red flags in our lives, how we just need to listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us and recognize that and then not give into that pressure of not wanting to hurt someone's feelings or not wanting to get in trouble. If I say that, I'll get in trouble. I'll be persecuted. They'll lash out against me. Or fearing that person because we want to protect somebody or protect our own selves. And when we get into that fear of man trap, then fear drives us instead of faith. And faith needs to drive us. When we get into that mode of fear, and it starts really small, we're not trusting the Lord. We are fearing. We're not believing His word. I exhort myself. I exhort you. When that little tiny bit of fear comes in, we need to recognize that. Wait a minute. I've lost perspective here. I have forgotten how great and mighty my God is. Remember in Nehemiah where they were, we just saw this, I think it was Sunday night, where they were, you know, giving their threats and the people were fearing. Nehemiah stood up and said, hey, remember the Lord great and awesome. And that David forgot. He forgot. And we forget. We can fear our future. We can fear our financial situation. We can fear health issues. We can fear you know, that everything's going to be out of control unless we do something. I mean, we can, you probably have your own lists of things that you fear. I mean, we all do it. Even great men and women of faith. I think about Abraham, that patriarch, that father of faith. He's called the father of faith here, and he feared. He feared man. He feared man. He let man, his fear drive him to preserve his own life. And he denied his wife in the process. Don't tell him you're my sister. I'm no longer going to be your husband to protect you because I'm afraid of this man. So you tell him that you're my sister. And he did it twice. He was rebuked. And then years later, he did it again. This is Abraham, who is full of faith. I think of Peter. And out of fear of man and fear for his life, he denied the Lord 3 times. And that's big. That's heavy. And fear can cause us to deny the Lord. Fear can cause us to hide our witness of him. And fear can cause us to mar our witness of him. And if we let fear drive us, our behavior will change just like David's. We will end up making very bad decisions. And we may even act like a crazy woman. And we probably have all been there at one time or another, where our fear has caused us to become very angry at the person, at God, at whoever. Our fear has caused us to act irrational. Has anyone in here never acted irrational? Our fear can cause us to have mood swings where we are just completely out of control, this crazy woman, and then we come back and we think, no, it's fine, and then we're over here. We've all experienced it. Every single one of us. And we're not alone, because Abraham did, Peter did, David did, and so many others in the Bible. They failed because of fear, and they failed in many other areas of their life. In their faith, and not believing God, not trusting him, his word, his promise to them, that they failed in that. They didn't believe. They started to doubt. They leaned to their own understanding. They took matters into their own hands, or they rebelled. They went the other direction, or they were angry at others, or angry at God, or they failed in their, because they were so proud, like Peter. Though they all deny you, I won't deny you. I am super Christian. I have great faith. We all fail. We all fall short. We don't live up to God's standard, and we doubt his promises. And sometimes there are, I mean, we do this all day, every day, where we, you know, we fail or we sin, whatever you want, whatever word you want to put in there. But then there are those that we would call maybe the big ones, the big areas of failure. Peter's was huge. I mean, can you just stop and think about that with Peter? He really, truly believed that he would take a stand. And he denied the Lord 3 times. 3 times. He said, I do not know the man. I mean, that's huge. David, here in our passage, how embarrassing, how humiliating for him. And ours, our failures, ours can be adultery, and maybe nobody knows, but God and the person. It can be past failures, it can be present failures, it could be abortion, it could be giving a baby up for adoption, it could be theft, it could be drug and alcohol abuse, it can be lying, it can be gossiping, and to the point where you've damaged somebody's reputation, you've really hurt someone. It can be creating an Ishmael where you've taken matters into your own hands and something was produced from that that will forever remind you of your failure. Maybe you've been there, or maybe you are there, but we've all had them. David had a biggie. And I remember a time in my own life it was private, which is nice. David's is in the Bible forever to be remembered. Peter's is in the Bible forever to be remembered. And sometimes ours are not so private. They are public. But I remember a time in my life, several years ago, that I have lots of failures in my life, but this one was a biggie. It was probably my first really biggie. I've had others, but I'll share about this. I thought I had more faith than I had, kind of like Peter, though they all, I won't. And I thought I trusted the Lord more than I did. I thought I had a closer relationship with him and believed him and could withstand. And a situation came up in my own life, and I won't tell you what it is, but I threw a fit. I threw a spiritual fit because I did not like this particular thing. And my fit was between me and the Lord. Again, so it was a private failure, big fat fit thing. And you know, you get through it, but afterward, I could not believe how badly I failed. Because I had expected so much more out of myself. And the condemnation that comes in after that, you call yourself a Christian, you teach a Bible study? How can you teach a Bible study when you failed like that? You need to live what you preach. All of those things. My pride was wounded, and the biggie was that I knew it had hurt the Lord. It had hurt him that I would throw a fit like that. And I wept bitter tears. Peter had wept bitter tears. You remember that in one of the Gospels where after he had denied the Lord and it said that Jesus, you know, they passed him through the courtyard and his eyes met Peter's, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. And when Jesus' eyes met Peter's, we know it was not judgment. It was grace. It was grace. How in the world... You put yourself in Peter's place. How in the world do you recover from that? When you have failed like that, how do you recover from it? Yet he did, because Jesus very graciously restored him and used him in a mighty way. That's a hard one. Look at David. How in the world could he even look at anyone after this? He pretended that he was crazy. This is that tender-hearted psalmist. This is that mighty warrior that stood in the face of Goliath. And he changed his behavior. And he turned and he scratched and clawed at the gate. And he let spit just roll down his beard. How do you recover from that? And it was all in front of his enemies. How humiliating, how embarrassing. And we know of David in his heart, how broken before the Lord, knowing that he behaved like that. Peter wept bitter tears over his sin, over his failure, and so did David. Now, at this point, Saul had not killed those priests. So David didn't even know about that yet. Okay, he knew he had lied. And now he knew that he acted like a crazy man. But he didn't know yet that Saul was going to kill all those priests. This is a failure on top of failure. I mean, that is one broken man. But we know that he recovered. And weeping, as Peter did, as we all have done, or feeling sorry or bad about our behavior, embarrassed, shamed, you know, those are all good things. I know the world teaches something very different today where, you know, you just kind of stand up and you're okay. But, you know, we used to say shame on you, and nobody says that anymore. But you know what? Shame on me. Shame on me for behaving that way. I ought to feel bad. My God is big. He's been faithful to me. He loves me. Shame on me for my doubt. And I don't want to sting anyone tonight, but that's who our God is. And we need to feel that shame and that sorrow. But staying in that place is wrong. Staying in that guilt, staying in that condemnation is just as wrong as the failure, as the sin. Neither Peter or David stayed in that place, not very long at all, not at all. And they went on to be greatly used by the Lord. There is life for us after failure. Praise the Lord, or none of us would be here today, because we have all messed up. It doesn't matter what, you know, how big or small the world might call it. We know before the Lord that we've messed up, but there is life after failure. In Psalm 103, which is the Psalm of David that he wrote later, tells us that God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows who we are. He knows all things. He knows what we will do. He knows our weaknesses. You know, Jesus spoke to Peter. Peter, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. Jesus knew. He knew ahead of time how badly Peter would fail. And he also knew that Peter would come back. And he also knew that he was going to use him in a mighty way. And he did the same with David. He knew when he anointed David, he knew this was going to happen. He doesn't call perfect people because there are no perfect people. But he sees the heart, as we've talked about over the weeks. He sees the heart, and the heart is what is important. It's not a perfect heart, but it's a heart that can be taught. is a heart that can be shaped and molded by him. The Lord knows what it will take in our lives to make us more like him. He does not bring in these sins. He does not bring in the failure, but he sure knows how to use it in our lives. He knows the reaction. He knows how we will respond, what we will do, and then he uses it in our lives to shape us, to mold us, to make us more like him. And we don't ever use his grace as an occasion to sin, but we can sure stand on his grace and know that he is faithful in that. Now, David's failure, his big sins here, it caused him to seek the Lord more and more. It didn't cause him to run away. It didn't cause him to beat himself up and to curl up in a ball and put the covers over his head. And then that was that. No, he went deeper into his relationship with the Lord. And he didn't do it again. He has another similar instance, but it's strictly out of forget this, I'm moving on. It's not fear. You know, we always think, well, I learned that lesson. Well, there's a part two to that lesson and a part three. You know, it's a process. But he received God's forgiveness and his grace. And David moved on. Because when you go into chapter 22, it tells us that David went then, he left there, he went to his brothers to see his brothers, he went to his father's household to see them. And then it tells us in verse 2 of 22 that everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to David. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. So these people that were having trouble in the kingdom because Saul was not a good king and they were dissatisfied, they gathered themselves to David. And then David at that point in time, you see, he moved on. He's not in a little ball. He's not beating himself up. He's moving on here. He takes his father and his mother over to the land of Moab and for safety to leave them there. And then during that time, he learned that the priest had been killed. He took full responsibility for that, for his sin. And then he led his men with him in the wilderness. And then during that time, David wrote Psalm 52 and Psalm 34. And Psalm 34 gives us a huge peek into David's heart during that time, what he learned through that very, very dark time in his life, what he learned about fear, what he learned about trusting the Lord, what he learned about failing in those areas. I had shared a little bit about my big failure. And during that time, or after that time, as I said, I was very condemned. And talking to the Lord about it day after day after day, confused by the whole thing, and I was still not in a good place. And at that point in time, it was when Morgan was in high school, and her last couple of years we homeschooled. And I took her into her advisory teacher, and we sat and we're talking about schoolwork and all of that. And he was talking about kids and when they fail and things like that. And he said something that at that point in time I had never heard before. And the Lord just used that in my life and has ever since. And he was talking about when kids fail, but they learn from that failure, it becomes a successful failure. When he said those words, the Lord it was just like this huge weight had lifted off of me, because I thought, I have learned so much. Things that I would have never have learned had I not failed. Not that I wanted to learn that way, but I learned so much So, Lord, can it be a successful failure? Yeah, it can. Because you learned. And don't do that again. Because it's hard and it hurts me. So I learned a lot. I learned a lot about God's grace. And I learned a lot about myself. And I learned a lot about successful failures. And when we read Psalm 34, and let's just turn there and close with this. I know Morgan read it at the beginning, but let's read it one more time in this context. When we read Psalm 34, you can see that David, oh boy, he had a very successful failure in this, because he penned this right after. And look at the things that he's learned. I'm not going to read all of it, just some sections of it. He starts off. This is the guy who just lied, got priests killed, and acted like a crazy man. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Wow. That is a huge lesson. This is the same man that was running for his life in fear and acting crazy. Do you see how quickly he turned around? And he got his eyes off himself. And he began trusting the Lord once again. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. He's learning about the fear of the Lord over the fear of man. And he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want or no lack to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord, because I have been through the fire. I have feared man over fearing God. But now let me tell you how much better the fear of the Lord is. In verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and he saves such as has a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Wow. Don't you want to have that in your heart the next time you fail? Nothing is wasted when we learn from it. Nothing in the Lord is wasted when we learn from it. David learned from his sin. He learned from his failure. He deepened his relationship with the Lord. He continued to seek and serve the Lord all the days of his life. And this chapter in his life made him more of a man after God's own heart. And so whatever failure you have experienced or in the past or recently or in the middle of, go ahead and cry your bitter tears and confess it all to the Lord. Change your behavior to be like Jesus. Trust him. Receive his forgiveness, receive his grace, learn from it, and then do what David did and bless the Lord at all times and teach others about the fear of the Lord. There is life on the other side because God is great and he is gracious. And Father, we thank you for that, because we would not be sitting or standing here tonight. Lord, we don't want to fail. We don't want to displease you. We don't want to act like crazy women. We don't want to doubt. We don't want to let fear overcome our faith. Lord, would you teach us the fear of the Lord? Would you teach us how to feed that inner man, how to feed our faith, how to stand for you, how how to be victorious. Lord, would you help us to be overcomers? We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and how you stoop down, you reach down, and you pick us up, and you put us back on our feet, and then you bless us. And we thank you for that, Lord. And Father, I pray that for each one of my sisters tonight, Lord, that they would take these truths and it would be a part of their lives, Lord. You would minister to them, encourage them, open their eyes, open their ears to what your Spirit is speaking. And I pray, Father, that as these women go into their discussion groups, that you would bless their conversation. It would be all about you, and that they would learn from one another and build one another up, and that they would go out with more of a heart after yours. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.